Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got a great show tonight. I wanted to remind people first about the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference. I hope you've gotten your tickets because it's sold out. So just a little heads up there, that conference is sold out. We may do another one in August, who knows, if things go well and we get a little bit of the county heat off of us. But we've got a great show, and looks like tonight we've got the James gang here. We've got James Fox and James Gillen together, and we both share a lot of the same, you might say, interests. You know, James did the Out of the Blue, the documentary on UFOs. He also did I Know What I Saw, and he's been involved in all other kind of arenas, but although that is one of my favorite subjects, and we will cover, might be able to get into that, who knows. I really want to talk about the Gulf oil spill and what's going on there, and from his eyewitness accounts and what's really happening, because we're not really being told the truth. So with any further ado, I want to welcome James on the show. James, are you with us?
I am, and thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, I saw a couple of your short blurbs on the Veritas and some of the other YouTube accounts, and I saw the flyovers and all that's available on the site. People want to click on those and watch them, but boy, it's quite a mess down there, isn't it?
It certainly is. I hope you. I've been making all the videos available for free on YouTube. We've been getting unprecedented hits on some of them, particularly the flyover with Dr. Carl Safina. He's a marine biologist. And then we flew over Ground Zero probably about a week ago. And it was shocking, very shocking. If anyone out there doesn't have the link, you can go to YouTube and just Google or do a search for Dr. Safina, S-A-F-I-N-A, Dr. Safina.
Mm-hmm. Now it would be better described as an oil volcano rather than, you know, the leak that they're trying to dismiss it as.
Yeah, I won't even call it a spill anymore. I'm done with that. I was for a while, but then I realized, like, this is diabolical is the word that comes to mind. It's spewing out at an unprecedented rate. The people I've talked to on the ground, it's so much worse than the media is letting it out to be. I mean, I've traveled for the last 2 weeks from Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, and I've talked to everybody along the way. I mean, if there's a store open or a restaurant, I stop, gas station, and I talk to people. To find out, because they, you know, they're locals and they know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they're out in their boats and they're checking it out. Now getting to the basics. Now, I'm having all this information flooding in, and I guess what they're in 5,000 foot deep water, and they drilled 22,000 at least up to 32,000 feet. Nobody knows for sure because they keep fudging the numbers. And they seem to have disabled most of the shutoff equipment and the safety equipment, or they weren't there at all. You know, they didn't even, you know, install them, the equipment that other countries demand that they have, you know, for protection. And they just drilled just with total reckless abandon into what is turning out to be basically a volcano. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, you know, it's a comedy of errors. I mean, it's apparently $1 million a day to keep that rig afloat. And they were behind schedule, and there were a bunch of telltale signs of imminent disaster. BP officials told the workers to press on, not to worry. And I remember listening to, I watched 60 Minutes, I remember listening to some of these workers say, you know, here we are messing around with Mother Nature, and that we've, it amazes me. I mean, there's a number of things with this whole spill, and I've talked to so many people over the last couple of weeks, so many people in the restaurant industry, the fishing industry, government officials, EPA officials, and why is it that we give them a permit, BP being them, to drill in deep waters, and yet there is no contingency plan in place for an event like this? It's criminal to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely had, they've had other spills. Now, they had one in 71, very similar, and I think it was in something like 22 feet of water, and they couldn't shut it off. And they called, instead of the top hat, they called it the sombrero, you know, and it's almost, if you played that footage and that coverage, it's almost identical to what's happening, you know, with this deep well. You know, they supposedly tried everything and they couldn't handle it. So, you know, you would think, and I guess they have some other blowouts going on that they still haven't shut off other than this, besides this one. And they continue to drill and use technologies that are, you know, basically prehistoric compared to what is necessary to be able to handle that kind of pressure.
Well, I took a flight in a seaplane with Dr. Carl Safina. If any of your listeners out there can go on YouTube and do a search for Dr. Safina, you'll find the video. But we flew over Ground Zero. And it was, the scene was so much worse than what any of us could have expected.
Mm-hmm.
There was like, we had the window open on the seaplane, and it was 120 mile an hour winds on the inside of the cockpit, so there was little to no conversation at all. We had to scream at the top of your lungs, and barely anyone can even hear you. But I remember the expression on the biologist's face when we flew over Ground Zero, and what we saw, what we witnessed below, spoke volumes to me. Someone who knows the ocean, someone who knows the impact of such a spill will have on the ocean, that had a very profound effect on me. And it, from what I've gathered on the ground, and I've been digging deep, certainly as deep as I can, that the spill is much, much worse than what they're letting out to be. And, of course, BP's had a history of lying about the amounts of oil being dispersed into the ocean. But I've talked to workers that have been involved with the cleanup. I've talked to people that know workers that have been involved with the cleanup. There's a concerted effort on BP's part to prevent any of the witnesses or the firsthand people involved with cleanup to talk to any reporters. I know this for a fact. I've talked to them with cameras off, and that the magnitude of the spill is so much, so far beyond what we're being told. It's a little scary. As a matter of fact, it's very scary. It seems like a big lab experiment having gone wrong, and that we're in uncharted waters right now. And I'm not trying to be a big conspiracy theorist. I'm really not. I'd love to tell all your listeners out there that this spill is much less than what we've anticipated, and that we're going to get a handle on it. I really would. That's the side that I'd much rather be on. But unfortunately, it wouldn't be truthful.
Well, I mean, you can't, if you flew over it and you saw it firsthand and you're talking to the people on the ground and hearing all the firsthand stories, I don't see, you know, considering what I've seen and even watching that flyover, with, you know, Safina there, I don't see how anybody in their right mind could dismiss this as anything other than a catastrophe, like a major catastrophe and with very, very, you know, long-term, very, you know, implications, you might say, or effects. And, you know, we heard Obama's speech, and I didn't even listen to it. I don't listen to politics. I try to, every once in a while, I'll turn it on to see what's up. And, you know, he goes, we'll clean it up. We're going to make it better, you know. And I don't know what generation he's talking about that's going to clean this up and make it better. But I think we've got a couple generations of a real mess to be dealing with, it looks like.
Well, that's the thing is, it's like everyone's talking about, oh, we're going to get this cleaned up. And meanwhile, this thing is spewing millions of gallons into the Gulf every day. You know, they talk about this cap siphoning off of some of the oil into these tanker ships. That's like kind of failed and sometimes working. Now it's not working because of the rough seas or the weather or the, you know, it just continuously spills. And you see these workers on the beach, or a handful of them, might I add.
Yeah.
First of all, the conditions for this, I mean, I was out there myself walking around with my camera trying to document some of the workers on the beach. And I promise you, after about 10 minutes, to me it became a matter of life and death to get back to the parking lot. Trying to walk in this hot sand, first of all, there's in certain areas what they're describing as being clean beaches and open for visitation. There are these very, like, if you look closely, there are these very sort of innocuous-looking, like, brown blobs that don't look like really anything, maybe like a little dirt or something, but it's this oil, and you get it on your skin, and you cannot get it off. It burns, it spreads. My sister, actually, one of the videos we have on YouTube, my sister went in and touched what she thought were leaves floating in the water. It turned out to be all these little spots of oil, and some people call them tar balls, but these bits that we experienced on South Beach, or sorry, South Orange Beach in Alabama, they weren't hard at all. If you touch them, they just dissolve like a melted chocolate kiss in your hand and just spread everywhere. And you couldn't wash it off. You had to get back into shore, get some water, get some Dawn, and scrub the stuff off your skin. And they're everywhere. And that's the crazy part about it. It was like, you know, from afar, the beaches looked fairly inviting. But when you looked at them closely, there were there's a swimming hazard in the water for, I think they called it, I have a video of it, oil-related chemicals. And they have these little things that don't look like much in the water, and they're these melted spots of oil that you touch and they just spread all over your body and you cannot get them off you and they smell terrible. It's so bad. I wish I could report something else.
Well, you know, this Coractiv that they're using, now the experts, even the EPA said stop using that, and it's 11 times more toxic than the oil, which is extremely toxic. And they're going ahead and continuing to spray this, you know, just to try to sink it and hide it. And the oil effects are bad enough. But when you put this Coractiv on there, and it makes it 11 times worse and disperses it, you know, out throughout the entire ocean. I mean, to me, it's like you're wondering who is charged down, who's in charge with this thing, and where is the government oversight? Where are the biologists? Where are the people that really know what's going on? And why aren't they just screaming to the high heavens about this? And actually some are, but you would think that, you know, the media is so remiss in not covering what's really going on there and just the toxic soup that our oceans are turning into.
I just talked to toxicologist Dr. Ricky Ott, and she was saying that, you know, there's been no testing on these bioaccumulation of these chemicals. They contain lead, mercury, cadmium, arsenic, and many other known carcinogens. So on top of that, these dispersants also cause the oil to sink below the surface. So you have these enormous plumes of oil, some of which have been measured up to 28 miles long, 8 miles wide, and God knows how thick. And these biologists are explaining to me, it's like on top of the fact that they're extremely toxic, they actually alter the molecular structure of oil. So they're doing it's causing oil to do things we never thought possible. And during the daytime, apparently these plumes kind of heat up with the sun and they kind of rise to the surface a little bit. And then at night, they cool off, and they seep back down into the undercurrents of the ocean. They're undetectable. They God knows where they're traveling to. They exhaust all the oxygen from their surrounding environments. And it's just, it's taking a really, really, really bad situation and making it 100,000 times worse. And apparently in the Exxon Valdez oil spill, we used about 100,000 gallons of these dispersants. And the areas that were exposed to these dispersants are taking twice as long to recover from the areas that were not. And we're using over 1 million gallons. I think it's 180,000 plus gallons have been used at 5,000 feet directly at the spot where the oil is exiting the pipe. And then also we're spraying these dispersants. I think 800,000 gallons have been sprayed so far as of a couple days ago on the surface. So it's just like, it's so bad, and the EPA has asked them not to use these and find something less toxic, and they continually use these dispersants. And I even heard our president on the beach in Pensacola saying, look, you know, we're doing everything we can. We have all hands on deck, which is not true. And we're using dispersants, and I thought, oh, my God, he's talking about these dispersants. And everyone I talk to, toxicologists, marine biologists, all the people, they're so against these dispersants, and yet we continue to use them.
I know they have some biological agents that, and bacteria and things like that, little microbes that they can spray that actually do work, and they would clean up the mess, and they could have been using hay and other things, but, I mean, this is just one of the biggest cover-ups with reckless abandon I've ever seen in my life, and with consequences that are just beyond belief, and I just... To me, when you tell people what's really going on, they can't believe it. It's so vile and so ugly and so inconsiderate of any life whatsoever that, you know, a lot of people just go, oh, no, that wouldn't happen. They wouldn't do that.
Everything that I'm obviously prepared to talk to you about today, I've backed up with my videos, and I think I've got around 10 of them on YouTube now. About every 2 days or so, I would we were shooting, and then we'd edit all night, and then compress and load these videos up. And you know, I've got statements from the EPA, I got statements from the Coast Guard, and they don't give you any information if you corner them. I mean, they just can't talk at all to the public, including the workers on the beach. But when you see the video of them, you can read between the lines.
Oh yeah,
So. Do you have a website? Is there any way you can link some of these videos onto your website?
Oh, I can. I did link some of them on my website now. They're already up there, and I know you've probably thrown some new ones up there, which I'll grab. Just for the listening audience, how can they go about and would they just go to YouTube or?
Yeah, you know, if you go onto YouTube, my username is James C as in Charles James. C. Fox, and you should be able to get the list of things that I've uploaded there. And it's amazing, actually. It's amazing the upswell of grassroots people that have signed on to support and have put me in touch with. It's this grassroots effort that has come from multiple states in affected areas to help get the truth out there. I've never experienced anything quite like it. I mean, in Alabama, people were inviting me into their homes, and restaurants were, after hours, were feeding us and having wine with us out in the patio to talk about the problem and how to address the problem. And you almost, you have to kind of pick your battles because there's so much chaos down there in the Gulf right now. The government says they're doing everything they can. BP says they're doing everything they can. They're not doing 1/1,000th of what needs to be done. These booms, they're putting out booms. The oil is sinking below the surface. The oil goes right under the booms. It's not doing anything to stop the oil coming in. It's really bad, but I wish I could tell you it wasn't, but it really is. And I tell you, I came home, I'm having a little respite from everything for the next couple of days, and I'm really affected by all this. It's depressing.
I'm getting this news from.
It's a man-made disaster, and they're making it so much worse, trying to to somehow disguise the magnitude of this oil spill.
Now I've got some information here that, and it's from one of the engineers, and I can't mention his name, but basically he said that they never did want to pinch off that pipe. They wanted to cut it off, and they still want to catch the oil. They don't really want to shut it off. And I thought that's just beyond criminal neglect there. Now, be that as made, if they said they didn't have the equipment to shut it off, they should have never drilled it, and they actually refused to pay the $500,000 to have the special blowout preventer equipment there and everything else. But that's all Congress now. I mean, Congress is getting that information and releasing it. But what I find amazing is that these guys that have these crystal balls, you know, like Goldman Sachs and Halliburton and all these guys, and 3 weeks before the event, they seemed to pull all their money out of BP and then bought Boots and Coots, the biggest oil dispersant group cleanup on the planet. And, you know, and basically the bottom line is 3 weeks in advance they did this. And so you're starting to follow the money and look at what's really going down. And, you know, it's not looking really good. It's like, you know, we had the banksters. You know, and they pulled that stunt, and then now we've got the oil spill, and then we had, you know, the big pharma guys with their mercury-laden monkeypox virus shots, you know, making everybody sick. You know, and I'm just wondering, we're seeing, you know, greed at its apex, just pure unbridled greed with no respect for life or anything, and at its apex here. And they invested in this well crashing and not coming in. And they invested in the accident. They were praying for this accident. And, you know, Halliburton left. Right after Halliburton left doing work on the site, everything went to hell and blew up. So you got to start wondering, you know, who are these guys? And, you know, should we be, you know, feeling sorry for them? Oh, they lost a whale. They're all going to lose money. Or should we start looking at them as just criminal neglect and something even worse, you know?
You know, it amazes me. I interviewed the marine biologist, Dr. Carl Safina. He had some very sobering words to say, and I haven't researched this enough to speak intelligently about it, but you know, he was saying basically that, you know, you've got a corporation that's primary drive motive of operation is profit, and, oh my gosh, I've got CNN calling me right now. I'm not going to take this call. Sorry. CNN has been keeping in touch, keeping me abreast of everything that's going on behind the scenes, and I, in return, have been letting them know things that I find out, like the fact that the press conference with the president on Grand Isle was, you know, they had these workers in hazmat suits that was all staged, and I talked to people that are actually directly involved with doing that. That was total nonsense. They had them on the beaches, you know, cleaning up the beaches behind the president. That was all nonsense. That was completely staged. And I found that out from when I was down there, and I mentioned that to CNN. They said, yeah, we're getting the same information. And then I said, well, there's, I'm hearing from locals that BP has hired workers, agencies to go and sweep the beaches, sweep the oceans very early in the morning or very late at night to take all the dead, you know, animals and stuff, dolphins and fish and pelicans, and CNN has been like, yeah, we're kind of following that too. So it's been kind of interesting to hear what's happening. But what's funny is that, like, a lot of this stuff is not getting in the mainstream. Can they not report it? Is BP calling the shots? Why is it that the EPA can tell the BP not to use these dispersants, they go on using them? Why is it that I'm talking to CNN and I'm hearing, they're hearing the same stories I am about all these shenanigans and covert operations that are going on behind the scenes, and yet they're not necessarily reporting all that either, but I'm getting confirmation from some of the producers they're hearing about this stuff too. What's going on? Who's in charge? That's my question.
Yeah. You know, the enforcement down there, now I've seen video people, that's strange. I knew that was going to happen. But anyway, I've seen, we'll have trouble with our lines here the more we get into this. You know, we have this interesting phenomenon here where I start losing lines and have to switch over to other lines and things like that. But anyway, getting into this thing, you know, what was interesting is seeing, you know, the enforcement down there. I mean, they're not they're not the local police, they're not the sheriffs, and they're zooming in on these badges, and you know, they're like Whackenbush and God knows who else is down there. I mean, some of them, I don't even want to mention their names, but they're all these you know, armies that were involved with, you know, the other oil wars and problems and fiascos. But you know, we're starting to wonder, like, okay, where are the people that are supposed to be in charge? Why aren't they you know, screaming about this? You know, why aren't they, you know, taking care of John Q. Public and informing them and, you know, getting them out of harm's way and things of that nature? Because, you know, basically these gases, not just whatever the core exit they're spraying, but the gases themselves coming off of this volcano, this oil volcano, are so toxic and deadly and have, you know, birth defects and everything else that come along with them. And those gases are blowing inward. And if you listen to Coast to Coast with Hoagland on there, he was talking about this massive bubble. I guess it's a methane bubble or something, you know, underneath this whole thing, which is, you know, probably most likely may go off, you know, who knows. But, you know, it's not looking good. They're talking about a major tsunami event or something of that nature where Florida is not going to fare well in this experience.
You know, I got some emails about that. I've got a number of them.
Uh-huh.
I brought them up with a few marine biologists that I've been talking to. And not to speak ill of Richard Hoagland at all, but...
Yeah, I'd love to hear what your take
on
that.
I've known that he's made claims that turned out not to be true in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard all these emails, doomsday scenario cases of these plumes of gas exploding and tsunamis and tidal waves and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, let's wait for some more concrete data to come in before we start spreading these rumors of catastrophic events of that nature, because that's just, that's terrifying to think about. But if,
yeah,
you know, unless we have concrete data, I mean, what have you heard?
Well, this is why I was bringing this up, because, you know, like, I'm not a rocket scientist, basically, but I'm trying to figure out how you'd have this giant methane bubble. You know, it is 5,000 feet underneath the ocean, but that stuff floats, you know. From my understanding, it rises, and it's hard to understand how you would have this massive trapped bubble down there of something heavier than the water, you know, under extreme pressure as well. That's what I'm trying to get at. I don't know how the dynamics behind that, on how you would have this massive giant bubble that would not be coming up to the surface or be you know, surfacing on a regular basis.
Have you heard this from anyone in the scientific community?
No, I haven't. That's why I was asking the question. I was wondering if you've heard anything about this bubble, you know, if it does exist or if it can exist
You know, I have. I mean, yes, I have heard about it, and I've talked to some people that I've been connected with, some marine biologists, and as far as I can tell at this point, they have not confirmed this bubble for me. I can't speak intelligently about it, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing I have seen, and I've seen video of it, and there's other fissures where this oil is leaking, and that pipe, you know, who knows how deep has been compromised, or it's just they've punched through and that oil's coming around the pipe, we don't know, but definitely there is oil and gas. You can see it blasting out around the well, not just at the wellhead, but in other places as well. And that's coming out from some other scientific evidence about that, that there's not just one big oil plume that they're dealing with from a, you know, a collapsed well. There's it seems to be much bigger than that.
I feel bad. I don't want to disappoint your listeners. I only feel comfortable mm-hmm. talking about what I can confirm and what I've seen and what I've heard on the ground. And I don't know. I mean,
yeah, this was video taken from the subs or the submersibles down there, and it actually showed you know, the ocean floor all of a sudden are just like a shock, you know, a shock wave, and this oil would come shooting out like all around in an area, and then gas would come up behind that, and they were zooming in on these events. And, you know, I don't know, supposedly the Russians are leaking out a whole lot of information on it, and again, you know, we don't know how accurate that is, but it seems to be a lot of information that this thing is much, much bigger than we've been told. And
I have heard that. I was at the Grand Isle, and I met with a couple of locals in Grand Isle, just outside Grand Isle, actually about 15 miles outside of Grand Isle, and I talked to the son of a worker who's involved with the cleanup crew, who's a former fisherman, lost his job, and he confirmed for me that, or he told me unequivocally that the spill was 10 times worse than what the media knows.
Mm-hmm.
And the conviction in this boy's voice when he said this was, I mean, there were no cameras rolling. He didn't want his name used. He didn't want me talking about it. I mean, he only told me because, you know, he wasn't trying to gain anything from telling me. Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they're probably just sick about this. You know, if you look at, you know, the emotions of these people, you know, they all just look down at their feet, and they just, they're so sad or even shameful for the rest of humanity, or I don't know what the emotions that they're going through, but you can tell, you know, they're very, very deeply disgusted with what's going on, and pretty fearful about even talking about it.
It's, I mean, you can imagine if it really were as bad as we're hearing it is, what would happen if they disclosed everything they knew about the event? It would be mass hysteria, right? It'd be a massive evacuation. There'd be complete panic. You almost, not that I'm condoning this type of behavior, but you almost can understand why they would try to keep this information quiet.
Yeah. Well, you know, people would probably start, you know, getting rope, you know, out if they knew the big picture. But
I talked to this toxologist, Dr. Ricky Ott, and she said that if there was a hurricane or a major storm, that these oil plumes, or the toxins in the oil, as well as the dispersants in the oil, like all these toxic fumes and chemicals, would be airborne and would travel 100 if not more miles in every direction, and people would actually be breathing these toxins. And that was terrifying. Mm-hmm. And she said, if there's a hurricane, leave town. Like, no unequivocal terms, leave town.
Mm-hmm.
And that worries me. It's like, When I flew over Ground Zero and I saw what I saw below, I mean, it was like oil in every direction as far as the eye can see. And we were at 3,000.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, well, that is going to get it up in the atmosphere any way you look at it. You know, it eventually those gases are going to be going up in the atmosphere and then raining down, you know, on the civilians down below. What we're getting reports now from Texas, and people, the crops there are getting extreme damage on them, and they have these little black spots all over them, and they don't know the origin of these black spots, and it happened, you know, just right, you know, after this major oil spill. So it does.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was flying on an airplane yesterday over Texas along the coast,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking down and I'm seeing these large, they're rust-colored, eyedrop-shaped plumes of oil, and I'm bringing them to people's attention, both in front of me and behind me on the seats on the right side of the plane. And everyone's looking out the window with cameras, taking photographs. I mean, I must have had 20 people looking at these things.
Uh-huh.
And everyone's saying, what the heck are those? So what else could they possibly be other than these plumes of oil? And then I talked to the pilot afterwards. I said, hey, did you notice these plumes of oil? I saw so many of them, I couldn't count that high. And this was all the way... Kelly, where did we fly into yesterday? Was it Houston? Houston. So I flew into Houston yesterday, mm-hmm. and this was all the way within minutes of flying into Houston along the shores off the coast, I saw these rust-colored plumes of oil. I can't imagine what else it could possibly have been. They looked just like the same ones I saw near Ground Zero.
That's quite interesting. This stuff seems to be traveling everywhere right now, and it is getting up in the air. And you know, the people that I've talked to that are sending me emails are saying, well, they've pretty much walked away from their gardens, you know, and they said it's affecting all the crops, and not just their gardens, but they said the weeds and everything else are all have these spots on them and burn holes, you might say, and are dying, and they've never seen anything like it. And to me, when you're looking at that happening around you, you got to wonder what kind of effects, you know, that's happening on people's lungs and respiratory systems, and who knows whatever else side effects.
That definitely worries me a little bit. I was out there. The smell was pretty much was constant. However, I experienced this stench one time in 2 weeks. It was so powerful, so like putrid, and the best way I can describe it, I was with my friend Jet at the time. We're driving back from Grand Isle. If you can imagine like diesel fuel combined with battery acid, that's what it smelled like. And it was really, really, really nasty. But I didn't smell it that bad. I only smelled the one time. It was pretty much constantly kind of this odor in the air. That was the worst.
And what they're saying is that sits in pockets or whatever, and then when the winds blow, you'll get a pocket of that come blowing through, and it's just overwhelming when you get in some of the denser stuff. But it's off and on a lot. And, you know, when the rains come, that's got to be taking that down, you know, and hitting everything, basically.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine? And do you know how hot it is in those areas? Have you been?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking 105-degree humid heat. I mean, it's almost unbearable to stand out in the street without any shade. And you can imagine the oil, like, just baking in the sun and the fumes becoming airborne and the toxins becoming airborne. Yeah, it was well over 100 degrees.
You know, with black oceans out there, I think it's going to get even warmer because, you know, absorbing all that heat, and that's going to create even more moisture going up into the air. It's not looking good on any front, basically.
We did something, I call it our moment of levity among a very depressing, catastrophic environmental disaster. But there's been an effort by some of the real estate agencies. You know, you've got these towering condos and beachfront hotels, and they're desperately trying to milk the last hour as many tourists as they can. Knowing that in the foreseeable future, the evidence of the oil spill is going to be undeniable, and so what they're doing is they're hiring people to give these reports on the shores of Alabama. In particular, we were at Orange Beach, and they've been giving these sort of daily updates, you know, come on down to our shores, the beaches are beautiful, you know, and I found out for myself firsthand the day before that they're not beautiful and that there's swimming advisories or against swimming notices everywhere, and these little spots of tar in the water on the beaches. And so we decided, we got together with some locals and decided to sort of make a mockery out of this campaign to get people to come out to these areas. And we shot an ad, which will be on YouTube probably later tonight or first thing tomorrow morning, where we had local women in bikinis covered in oil playing volleyball while someone, like the equivalent of a news reporter, giving an update on the conditions of the beach and the water and the weather a little silly, but a moment of levity in a very catastrophic time.
Or, you know, you've got to keep your humor. I mean, this is so insane. You'd go insane along with it if you didn't have some kind of humor. And, you know, it's kind of a defense.
Exactly. It's so depressing. I mean, like, when you look at all the fishing industries, and it's not just the fishermen, but it's the restaurants, the truckers, like, everything related to the fishing industry, and they're all suffering. Like, they're all suffering. They're all super-duper frustrated. It's tragic, you know, and it's just tragic. It really is.
Yeah, send me a copy of that.
I'm back in California now for a couple of days. It's hard for me to be home. I feel guilty almost, like the fact that I can enjoy clean air and clean water and the beaches are clean. I feel almost guilty about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty insane. You have to send me a copy of that clip. I'll send it out in between my other ones because I know I'm driving people insane with, the new updates on this oil spill. It just gets, you know, it's getting uglier and uglier and uglier, and the people involved and the people making millions and billions of dollars off of this, it's just unbelievable when you look at the program, the big picture on this whole thing. And, you know, we're sending, you know, more and more updates. And I'd love to, if you hear anything, be sure and send me an email because I really want to find out about this bubble scenario and these extra vents that are going off and these supposed fractures around the wellhead. Because, you know, if that is true, you know, that's not a good picture and it'd be something that people would need to know about. We usually tell people.
Can you imagine? I mean, it just terrifies me to think about that as being a reality. First of all, how is one going to get that data? I mean, how are you going to get cameras down to survey the bed of the ocean bed, of the ocean floor? Mm-hmm. I mean, BP, as far as I know at this point, is the only one that has cameras down there. The government doesn't have cameras down there. They don't even have the technology. As far as I know, they don't have the technology to even have cameras down there. So we're pretty much going on BP's word. And how are those rumors spreading? Who are they spreading through? Who's talking about this? What I said when I heard Hoagland talking about it. I was like, well, God, it's all frustrating to hear, but it's like, where's the source of this information coming from? Is it a BP?
I've had my moments with Hoagland myself, so I know what you're talking about.
But, I'm not trying to speak ill of anyone, but... You know, it's like if you're going to talk about something that potentially catastrophic, you better be backing that up with some pretty hardcore data.
Yeah, he might have some, you know, who knows. But I would like to see, you know, the resources. And he would say, you know, an unknown engineer, I can't speak of his name, which is understandable considering the consequences. And they're like BP insiders, I guess, that are leaking this information. And I also heard, too, and I don't know if this is true or not, but they're supposedly they brought in some Russian equipment because they're very adept at this stuff, and they have all these mini subs and have the record for deep water diving and all these other things. And, you know, I'm getting information about that. And again, I don't know how I could verify this, but it's coming from the Russian Academy of Science and these other groups. But they're... supposedly have their subs down there, and they're surveying the whole thing and seeing what's really going on. And that's where a lot of this information is coming from about the fractures and where oil is coming up in different locations, and that they've fractured the substrata or the different levels of rock and layers and things down there that oil is kind of coming up everywhere right now.
Well, from what I've been told, it's 5,000 feet down to the bottom of the ocean. Mm-hmm. Then it's another 10,000 feet into the oil deposits, the oil cavities. So you're talking 15,000 feet, which is the better part of 3 miles.
Yeah.
That's a long way down.
Yeah. Now, they said that the pressures down there, now these are geologists talking now, they're saying some of the pressures they're going to be running into could be up to 100,000 PSI, and that's insane, you know, and not having the equipment or the ability or the technology to shut something off like that you're drilling into, and it, to me, it's just a form of, you know, it's like pathological narcissistic insanity or something. I don't know, it's kind of an oxymoron saying all that together, but I mean, it's insane to do something like that. I just can't, it's like greed has completely taken over all common sense and all base, you know, base reason, you might say. And to even attempt to do something like that without a shut-off valve or a way to shut that off or even poke a hole into that thing is, to me, is just a form of insanity.
No, it's definitely criminal. I mean, it's one of the things I've heard from everyone I've spoke to, from Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida. The residents are so frustrated. Democrats, Republicans, doesn't matter. I mean, they're going, how is it possible that there's no contingency plan for an event like this to go wrong? You know, it's like, it's criminal.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, you really look at, you know, who they own. You know, basically they own the politicians and they own the news media and, you know, they pretty much own that whole enchilada. And it's pretty much demonstrated on the beach right now because now they own the beaches. And, you know,
You know, I mean, I encourage people, if they can, to look at the videos. It's a shame I can't link them now directly to your site if anyone's listening out there to, because everything that I'm sharing with you, I'd be honest with you, I'd much rather just share it in my video because I've just been documenting my experiences on the ground with my camera. And I've discovered that Wackenhut Security has been hired by BP to close off certain areas, maybe perhaps some areas more sensitive, obviously, than others. And perhaps they can make the arrests because they don't need local law enforcement to do so.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that BP can go on and using these dispersants when the EPA has asked them not to, there's known carcinogens. I mean, I pinned down the EPA at Orange Beach, Alabama, and I just, you know, nobody will talk to you. The Coast Guard won't talk to you. The workup cleaners, the people on the beach won't talk to you. The EPA won't talk to me. Nobody wants to talk to you. It's really frustrating. It's like someone's given the orders not to talk to the press at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going on about this, like, they spent $50 million, BP, on this ad campaign of, like, how we're going to take care of everybody. If you're taking care of everybody and you're taking care of the environment, you don't need to spend $50 million to prove to everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
They spent $80 million so far in payout to compensate the people that are out of jobs, and yet they spent $50 million to tell everyone that everything is okay. BP is doing everything in their power, and I guarantee it, and I'll put my reputation on this, to prevent the fact that the magnitude of this spill is so much worse than what they're willing to admit, and they're doing everything they can to give that impression.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's lie central, basically. But, you know, this thing, I think this is so big. This is like a giant herd of elephants running behind everybody, these politicians, BP, everybody. And I think they're all just waving their hands saying there's no elephants here until they just get flat-ass run over. And there's no way they're going to hide this one. It's just too big, and it is going to be the coffin, you know, in their nail. You might the coffin nails in their coffin. You know, if they continue to go on the path that they are going, you know, there's no sincerity, there's no honesty, there's no integrity, there's no respect for life. There, even the workers, they tell them to take off your mask. You know, you know, don't let any cameras film you.
One worker. I didn't see one single worker on the beach with a mask on. Not one. They had rubber.
Yeah, they said it looked bad.
They had rubber booty type things. These like plastic bags over their shoes and gloves, and that was it. And you could smell that toxic odor from a mile away.
It has long term effects too.
I'm not saying that none of them have them, but I didn't see anybody. I didn't see one single person.
Yeah, I heard they were told not to wear them because it looked bad. You know, they didn't want people to know that the, you know, how.
Come on down to our beaches. Everything is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, and here's another thing. It's like, Obama was there, and he's talking about all hands on deck and bringing in the National Guard and, you know, making all the resources. And all the people were saying to me, where is, just give me one skimmer. Give our beach one skimmer. And there wasn't that.
Yeah.
And I'm just telling you what everybody told me and what I observed. I mean, they, when I flew over Ground Zero and when I flew over the surrounding areas and I did two separate plane trips and I documented both of them, excuse me, from camera, on camera, there's like little to no cleanup crews. There's little to no skimmers. I was trying to describe it as best as I could to somebody the other day. Said, if you can imagine a dam breaking and then having like maybe three people at the base of that dam trying to stop the water, that's what it looked like.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably pretty accurate as to what's going on. I know in the regular mainstream news, they show all these big rigs there and all these skimmers going full, and planes dropping, core exit and all this. And look what we're doing. We're going to clean this all up. No problems, then you talk to anybody on the ground as usual, and they're saying, give me a break. That's not what's happening here.
Right. What's your take on it? Where are you located, and what have you heard? I have not been watching the news at all. I've been working. I've been shooting all day, traveling, shooting, and editing. I have not even mm-hmm. turned the television in 10 days.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't have a TV. I threw mine out about 20 years ago, probably 30 years ago. So whatever I get is over the Internet, basically. And I have an email list that's several thousand people plus. I don't know how big it is. After the first 3 or 4 days, it goes out to millions because of the sub list. But it's overwhelming, and the emails I'm getting, I'm just getting flooded with information, and some of it you can, track it down. These people are who they say they are, and they're physicists and biophysicists and, environmentalists, all these people that have their degrees. And that's another thing that shocks me. None of the environmentalist clubs are even talking about it because they're all sponsored by Shell and these other companies. And, I can go on and on about that. But, what I'm getting that I could track down and verify is exactly what you're saying. It's a volcano. It's so big. It's so massive. It's beyond people's comprehension. And what's being said is being done is not being done. It's just a big cover up. And I'm even getting more reports of, like I was saying, of the fractured crust and video of it actually seeing the oil coming up and the gas is coming up through the crust. So, I don't know. That's what I'm experiencing. And then I heard Hoagland's thing on it, and that stuff I haven't been able to verify.
You have not been able to verify?
No, I haven't been able to verify this massive gas bubble other than, what he said and then a couple other emails. So,
what would contain the bubble? I mean, the gas would naturally float to the surface, right? I mean, that's what it does.
Well, that's my take on it, unless there's something I don't understand about, 5,000 feet of water and what gas does in there. But to me, it's kind of obvious if whatever's lighter is going to go to the surface, and the gas is much lighter than the liquid. So it does, make common sense that if there was a bubble, it's probably already, up in the atmosphere. But, there may be something I don't know.
Interesting. And people you've talked to, I mean, I'm just saying this, I've been living in it now for the last 2 weeks without any television. I'm listening to how frustrated residents are and fishermen are and local authorities and politicians. I mean, there's one, Charlie Huma, I think it was last name in a minute, but he was the mayor of Magnolia Springs, Alabama, and there was the mouth of the channel, going into a very pristine freshwater bay inlet. And there are turtles and alligators and all kinds of wildlife in there, and they're trying to get the government to protect it. Whatever boom or whatever they have to do to close the mouth off, and the government wasn't responding. The mayor finally took matters into his own hands and got a series of barges and closed off a, I think it was a quarter mile or a half mile inlet to all the their estuaries. And I was swimming in the inlet, actually, just a couple days ago, and I ran into some, there are these houses on the shore of this little river. It was beautiful, clear, beautiful water. And they were like, well, this is the last fresh water or clean water we can swim in. Everything we've ever known our entire lives and grew up with is ruined right now, and we're trying to just save this last backwater, you know, bay.
Yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately,
really
we're out of
really
we're out of time. I'll have to get you back on in a more joyous subject, you might say, and talk a little bit about the UFOs and some of the other things. And
can you believe we didn't talk about UFOs at all?
Yeah, I know you have the same passion I do for it. You know, we have people. I have people sitting in this field right now. And I would bet $1,000 we have clear sky that something's going to fly over and power up and make a nice turn. And I would even bet, you know, if we have clear sky that and I'd pick my camera out there and film it and date it and get witnesses. But it happens every night on clear sky. We get three or four objects. Last night we had one fly behind the house, behind the trees, powered up, lit the whole sky up, made a turn around the trees, and we had probably... Oh, I'd say probably 9 or 10 witnesses out there.
Wow.
And this is last
you
night.
You know my film, I know what I saw.
Yeah.
So I saw it on the History Channel. Just to let any listeners know out there that if any of you are enjoying these independent reporting or the YouTube videos, please feel free to contact me for information, or if you want a copy of the film, I Know What I Saw, which I'm selling on the website, and 100% of the proceeds go towards continuing efforts in the Gulf. And the website is iknowwhatisawthemovie.com. iknowwhatisawthemovie.com. And if you we should really make sure that your listeners can have access to these free YouTube videos that I'm posting every couple of days, because you hear you don't hear from me reporting. I don't give my 2 cents. All I do is offer the general public, the residents, the business owners, the Coast Guard, the EPA, a voice to talk about what's happening. It's, from what I'm told, because I haven't been paying attention to the media, but from what I'm told, they say it's the closest to the truth of what's happening there that they've gotten to. So I hope you're listening.
I'll make that available. I have been sending out all of your videos, and I get them, and as soon as I get them, they go out over the list, so everybody is seeing them, and I might put up a little area just with all those together. And again, well, unfortunately, we're out of time right now. We're a little bit over, so I got to sign off. But I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and I commend your bravery for going out and interviewing those people and documenting what's really going on. And keep up the great work.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
All right. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
All right, James Gillen signing off with As You Wish Talk Radio. Have a great evening. Good night.